Our reading from this morning, for this morning, is from Psalm 22. Psalm 22. We have this past month been going through a number of the Psalms, and today we will touch briefly on Psalm 22, specifically verse 24. Hear the word of God as it was spoken by David. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him, and shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. And for this morning, we will focus in particular on verse 24, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. After the ministry of the word, we will sing from Psalm 42, stanzas 6 and 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, from time to time you hear about people who go through a very difficult time in their lives. They experience the death of a loved one, or they have to endure a grave illness, or they go through many challenges. And when you ask them about it afterwards, sometimes these people will say things like, you know what, it was hard, it was the hardest thing I've gone through in my life, but God was there for me every step of the way. Now, it could be that you're sitting here this morning and this resonates with you. You had the same experience. And if so, that's wonderful. But it could also be that you have never experienced anything like this before. Maybe you went through great difficulties and you didn't feel like God was there with you. Maybe you're going through that kind of an experience right now at this very time. And you wonder, what is going on here? We talk about the Lord's care in our lives. Why does he seem so far away? That was David's problem in Psalm 22. Here we have King David as king, exercising his God-given office. And remember what we learned the last couple of weeks, that the king had a very special function. He was God's representative. He was the representative of the Lord's presence and of the Lord's rule for the people. So if anyone is going to experience the presence of the Lord in his life, you would expect it to be the king. After all, his enemies don't only threaten him personally, they also threaten him in his capacity as a leader of God's people. They threaten the entire nation. So you would expect David, of all people, to feel the presence of the Lord in his suffering, but he doesn't. He makes that very clear. He didn't. And that challenged him on the deepest level of his faith. It raises the question, how seriously does God take the affliction of his afflicted ones? And our text answers us, he does not take it lightly. He does not despise it. And that word despise means to undervalue something, to take it lightly. Even if our affliction is so bad that it makes others turn away, that they abhor us, so to speak, that God does not turn away and he does not detest us. And so with that in mind, we're going to spend a few minutes meditating on verse 24 of this psalm. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted and has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. So I bring you the gospel this morning, summarized as follows. The Lord does not despise you. He did not despise the afflicted, and he does not despise your affliction. Now, what does it mean to be afflicted? We might think of people who are burdened or who have troubles, and that is not wrong, but in the original language, the word has a more specific meaning. The afflicted were people who had no land or almost no land. Remember what we learned earlier, that if you owned a piece of the promised land, then you shared in the community of faith, and you also had a source of income. If you had no land or very little land, then you were marginalized, and you were poor. Think, for example, of the family of Naboth. Remember Naboth, who was murdered by Ahab? And Ahab took his land to use it as a vegetable garden. What do you think happened to Naboth's family afterwards? Well, they became poor. That's an example of these kinds of people who had no standing in society, no income, and were always disadvantaged. People who, by definition, were dependent. And they were dependent on anyone who would help them, but especially on God. And those were the afflicted. Over time, the word became identified with people who were dependent on God in general. this category of the poor and needy that you read about in the Old Testament. Again, people who had no one else to turn to except for God. And so that's why someone like David can identify himself as one of them. It's not that David as king doesn't have land or doesn't have an income, but he is expressing his dependence on God. So when you read that word afflicted, you have to understand it to mean dependent. Okay, the afflicted are those who are dependent on God, who have a special relationship with God. But that's the problem, isn't it? Because he's expressing his dependence on God in this psalm. He has nowhere else to go. But in the first half of the psalm, God is not honoring that dependence. God doesn't respond to him. Why not? Well, the unbelievers in the psalm, they say, well, we know why. We know why. There's two possible answers. Either it doesn't mean anything to God, so God despises David's dependence, or God has forgotten him. See, verse 6, scorned by mankind, despised by the people, and they say, and even God, he trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Even God despises you, David. Even God scorns you. And neither of these options make any sense to him. Because God listened to his forefathers. God was there for him earlier in his life. Why not now? And so here we see an example of the struggle that every believer goes through from time to time. It is the struggle that happens when your experience and what you believe don't match up. Well, in the end, the Lord does deliver David, and he celebrates that in our text. See, he says here, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. But as we look at the psalm, and we look at the affliction, and we look at the deliverance, we see that the scope goes far beyond anything that David could ever have experienced. Because yes, David was afflicted, but when was David ever poured out like water? When were all of David's bones ever out of joint? When were David's hands and feet pierced? When were his garments divided among his enemies? You see, David uses all of this language to verbalize his sense of alienation and distress. And in doing so, he portrayed the one who would come after him. He portrayed Jesus Christ in his crucifixion, in his alienation. And we know in the end, God did answer David. The turning point happened somewhere in verse 21. But God did not answer Christ. Not on this side of the grave. And why not? Was it because he despised and abhorred the affliction of the afflicted? When Christ, the great sin bearer, hung on the cross, did God turn away from him, disgusted by what he saw? No. No, God did not answer Christ on this side of the grave. But that was so that he could answer him on the other side. And that is good news. That's amazing news, because it means that God's love for the afflicted extends not just to the grave, but even beyond the grave. He does not despise the afflicted. And because he did not despise the afflicted, with a capital A, he also does not despise your affliction. You see, when David quoted the psalm, he identified himself as one of those afflicted, just like when Jesus quoted the psalm, he identified himself as one of those afflicted, just like David did. Jesus identified himself with God's people who are burdened by sin, by sorrow. He identified himself with people who suffer and cry out to him. He entered into the midst of them and took on their affliction. And those of you who have been following the news lately, you know that it is a dangerous thing these days to identify yourself with one particular group. People are discovering that if you identify with the wrong group, you get painted with their brush. But Jesus did not only identify with us. Jesus became one of us. He became one of the afflicted. And God did not despise his affliction precisely because it was his son. He did not abhor him. He was not repelled by him. That's what the word abhor means. He accepted his affliction. As a matter of fact, he will not listen to you, to his afflicted ones, without Christ. And that's what the Lord's Supper teaches us this morning. That teaches us Christ has identified himself with our affliction. No matter how afflicted we are, no matter how dependent we are on God, we cannot compel him to listen to us. We cannot make God listen to us. Even your deepest and most profound suffering cannot force God to listen to you. But we know that he will listen to us because he listened to Christ. That means we need to reflect before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Are we really part of the afflicted? Do we really belong to those who trust in God, even if the evidence points us in the opposite direction? Do we have a mindset of total dependence on God? Also, how do we respond to suffering in our own lives when it overtakes us? Do we understand that God does not despise our suffering? He does not despise us for struggling, for crying. He entered our suffering. He is not absent from it. And that shapes how we deal with suffering in our own lives, because it means we should be patient. We know that God will answer us in our affliction. He did not abhor the or despise the affliction of the afflicted, so he will not abhor and despise us. Instead, he invites us to his table to have fellowship with him. He invites us to give thanks for deliverance, even if we don't see the details of that worked out completely yet. And he invites us to cry to him so that we might be heard. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen.